It definitely,
Sorry,
as
keep
far as I
going.
know, it could be tied together, but at this point, we're not sure. We do have people digging into that one specifically. I didn't get the report from earlier today about that.
I know that Daniel Bloom on our side is troubleshooting an issue with the mediator when the pickup plugin is installed. It has issues with the first connection and credential issuance, the first message being passed. So that would be related to, I think, the topic you're bringing up on that one.
Sorry, something distracted me. I apologize. Could you repeat?
The issue that was raised, I think, like about 2 weeks ago on the bifold community side with the first issuance
Yes.
on mediation, we've been able to reproduce this on one of Indicio's projects, and we believe this is an issue with the mediator when the pickup plugin is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Even if you aren't using pickup v2, it's messing with the implicit pickup methods that ACPI has available. So that's something that Daniel's looking into.
Is he working with Akif on our team?
Right now they're trying to isolate this with unit tests and see if I can just reproduce it with ACPI to ACPI. But I imagine that once, if that does not prove fruitful, then we will expand our reach to me as well as Akif. So my thought process is let Daniel run at it and then see where that goes. And then we can adjust course as needed.
Okay, just so you're aware, I mean, Keith's basically full time on that for the last couple of days, and he's made progress as well. So I'm just worried that people are in silos working on this and not sharing notes. So highly, maybe it won't help, but making sure keeping each other informed would be good.
Yeah, I'll reach out to a Keith and make sure that the silos are at least aware of what each other are doing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for that discussion. Also, for those listening, I apologize for restarting the recording late. Thanks, James Ebert, for ringing my bell about that. So we're now recording. Other things we want to talk about before we get to our agenda today. Awesome. Here's what I've got listed out in front of us. We did not have not yet closed the push notification RFCs. We had some discussion last week and it was good, but there was a little bit of unknown what we're gonna ha how we're gonna handle some things. There's also a new push notification concept RFC that I wrote. In the minor versions error reporting, we have 752, Stephen, that I forget where we landed, but like that we need to figure this out. And there's also an update to my PR for unknown error handling that was a huge chunk of discussion last week, and I've updated according to what we talked about there. And then issue credential v2.1 learning, we talked very briefly about last week, and also talking about replacing IndieSD Care and Aries projects, and also IW topics. So we clearly have nothing to talk about today. Are there any adjustments that we want to make before we get going?
Hey, can I make one more announcement?
Sure.
This is really belonging to the above, but I just wanted to let people know that we accomplished a bit of a milestone last yesterday in that we now can take in an on-creds credential, convert it to W3C format, and convert it back to an on-cred so it can be fully processed as an on-cred, but also pass that credential into an ACPI and have it signed as a LD signature such that it can be processed as an LD signature credential as well. So basically that was a bunch of work in understanding by Andrew of understanding JSON LD. It is done without the need for any schema specific JSON LD. Basically, the schema becomes a series of name value pairs, schema name, you know, attribute and value, so that we don't have to have JSON LD produced by the issuer, but rather a single common JSON LD for an on-creds can be used, JSON LD context can be used, and we can produce an LD signature on and an on-creds credential. So that's pretty interesting and will be a topic to IAW. So that was my announcement. Thanks.
Very cool. And I'm looking forward to that conversation at IAW. That will be an interesting thing to see how the community responds to that. So that'll be good. I reserve the right to let us decide which how we handle sort of the further topics, agenda items. Obviously, the IAW topics is more useful before IAW than after IAW, unless in review. But let's any other comments before we dive in? All right. So we identified that we should have had a push notification concept RFC that I had committed to who knows how long ago. I finally done it. We had one comment here that that it might be helpful to know which push notification methods can be used by public mediators. I have a note in here that that some of these are not usable by public mediators. The reason I didn't put it in was because I want to sort of let everything sort of get in and settle and get some demonstrated knowledge about what might be used on a public mediator before I go making unsubstantiated claims. I'm planning to leave this for an update. It's not a crazy complicated RFC, but what it does describe is the general flow, the motivation in the background, and the general flow that that these other RFCs are describing that are technical RFCs instead of concept or RFCs. It talks about like a setup phase and then, you know, what happens during a notification phase as that happens. And then this note about public mediators. And I have a list of push notification protocols here that there's only one listed here, but there's several PRs pending. The idea is that, of course, this gets updated as we gain knowledge there, including notes about which of the push notification protocols are usable by a public mediator because of their implementation. So this is the concept RFC. The other thing that would be useful is to link to this RFC from the other existing RFCs. And I have not done that yet, but that's something that we can do as just part of cleanup housekeeping tasks. Any questions or comments about this concept RFC of push notification?
I thought this looked good, Sam. I think I would like to do a more thorough look at it, but from the look that I did get to take a look at, I thought it was good.
Awesome. Also, I think that we can, unless someone objects, we can go ahead and merge this and then clean it up with things that we need to clean up, right? Clarify or whatever else. And so I don't think I'm saying anything controversial in here. But having this is really useful for someone that approaches the concept of push notification and they're like, why is it done this way? And there's some there's some comments, you know, about that to be done. So there is a note here this is not something required to be used. It's only useful to be used as part of this. Clearly, anyone who's shipping a mobile app and running their own mediation service can use whatever they would like internally in order to make this happen. But this is these exist to facilitate communication between those open source projects.
I thought that was a good note. Is that something we have similar language on for the pickup protocols?
I believe we do, at least in some of the ones, like mediator coordination is another one that falls into this
Right.
category of useful but not required for broad interoperability.
Right.
And so
Part of why I asked is because consistency in how we describe that may help in that, oh, this is the same kind of thing as over here, for instance,
it may
or
be
something
there's a
like that.
couple things we can do to make that more clear. One of them is that we can make sure that a note like this exists on the top of these things so that people can be aware of that. It might also be useful when we are organizing RFCs together to group them as such. And when we have an interop profile, for example, we need to call out the ones that, if we ever include ones that are optional, they need to be called out as such, in that you can be completely compliant with this and not do this if you have solved that problem in some other way. And so it's a little bit of a weird area because there's certainly utility in having these, but it's not like if someone's gonna, create a test suite, you can't fail someone on this, because that's not how it works.
Right, which is at least partially why we created a sub-target for mediation or
Yes.
whatever we called it. Yeah, but yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Any other comments, or does anyone object? Awesome. Stephen, can I lean on you for PR processing?
Sure.
Awesome. Okay, so that done, and that was not really a requirement, but it's definitely something I need to get done. So I appreciate the guilty feeling that motivated me to get that done. So we have these three other PRs here that we discussed last week, and I'm hoping to not repeat the discussion that we had, but to make some progress on them. And so here's the Expo protocol, and with the changes there, and then the comments here. But this was kind of like left a little bit in limbo. 737 is sort of in a similar state. And then I think this was just last week that it got merged, that it got brought up to date here. And then here's the Firebase Cloud messaging as well, that had some longer discussion, but also appears there. There's been a bunch of updates to this one. I forget who this is. Brend, yes. And Brend is not here, but he after our conversation this last week, this is all done in the last 5 days. And so we have those updates now. And so he says he'll do the same thing with the APNS, which has been already merged, but could use some updates to match. So we can check the changes here. And I think there was enough. Can I run a diff? What's the best way to? Whose Git foo is GitHub foo is better than mine? I want to see a commit between.
If you look at the very bottom commit, you click on the weighted up, updated RFC according to the working group call. That I believe should have the changes, I think, that were from just last week.
Okay, it's that forced push in there that was weirding me out. Okay, so the token and platform and device platform. So for Firebase Cloud Messaging, it needs both the token and the platform. So the platform used by the sender.
I don't think it's needed for the Firebase side, but I think we wanted it based off of the needs to you want to use Firebase for Android, but then you wanted to use APNS for iOS. I think I don't think it was Firebase specific, but more needs from an RFC and protocol perspective, I think.
It also looks like the message tag and ID got turned into lists so that you could actually notify multiple things at a time, which is convenient. And then that's been updated here. Batching multiple messages in a single notification, which is there, which is cool. And then this is the index updates. We ought to mention too, and we need to make sure that we adjust the code to not require index updates, because we have code that will do the index updates for us as part of GitHub Actions. We need to make sure that that works. We had a plea out for that if anyone's interested in helping us to resolve some of the GitHub Actions that help the R automation here. But okay, so so the device platform and the multi-token stuff was included.
I did notice just now one typo, so I will comment that when I can get to my computer, and that should probably be updated before we merge. Question mark?
Yeah, so this one, I think you're correct, James, that this contains all of the stuff that was done in the last week is right here. So
cool.
Yeah, so if that's quickly, go ahead and tag Berend in that. So yep. And hey, we might get that resolved pretty quick. Is there anyone who objects to the merging of this PR? Okay, and we can merge after the typo is fixed. Okay, so this one mentions a pickup protocol. I'm kind of inclined to go ahead and merge these, and we can update them as necessary. I think they've come out in the unmerged state for a long time.
Based off of his comment on the one we just looked at, he said if these updates look good, I'll update the other ones.
He did, but he just said APNS, which has actually already been merged.
Okay.
So
I'm okay to do a follow-up PR if needed.
Well, those are easier because they're smaller changes, and so it's not like a gigantic thing, right?
Right.
Does anyone oppose to merging any of, like, all of these, and we can kind of clean them up with subsequent PRs if necessary? We're clearly not making rapid progress on any of these, and I think that they're by and large there and present and correct. Okay, no objection. Steven, can I lean on you to attempt to merge those? Some of them need main updates.
Yeah, I'll give it a try, see if I can.
Okay.
The branch has conflicts that must be resolved. That one won't be. But anyway.
That's an index. We need to get people to not actually not include. We need to update the index instructions so that we remove that and people don't think it's part of what they need to do. So it's partially our fault.
Yep. But there's nothing I can do about that.
Nope.
My GitHub food up to that.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So that's push notifications. Any other commentary about push notifications before we push on?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, 752 and 756. 752 was Steven's, to clarify the handling there. And Steven, you have cleared the way to march this. It was marked as a draft. But I don't think.
Yes, but I updated a bunch of stuff this morning.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. Could you look at the clarify minor verse? I don't know if you can see just the commit. Okay, good. Okay, so basically what I said was clarified the, you know, higher than received, lower than received stuff, because that gets confusing. And then basically said, recipients of the response should detect from the PI URI that a lower version was used in the response and to compensate if needed and necessary. And then I said, The next bullet says, basically, we used to have this wording about sending a warning message, but that's now considered deprecated. And I put a deprecation note down there. So basically, as a recipient, you shouldn't look for a warning message about this. You should look at the minor version that the person sent back, that on the message coming back, and see that it's different, and that's how you know. You shouldn't rely on a problem report.
Yes. That can be combined here with what I've talked about in my update.
Yes.
It basically says this is in the section that talks about expected process, like best practices handling, and it mentions that errors of a known error code will be processed according to the understanding of what the code means. Any unknown code that starts with a W dot in the DIDCOM V2 style may be considered a warning, and the flow of the active protocol should continue. All other unknown process code should be considered an end to the active protocol. So what that means is that if you still want to send a warning according to the deprecated stuff here, you would come up with a new one of W dot and send that. And according to that, then people should consider that to be a reminder. Although this is kind of something that we should probably, I would in my code bases not openly embrace this yet until we reach some point of AIP that includes this unknown error handling as an update. And that way this particular detail can be handled properly. I don't know. The code bases that I've reviewed don't have deep processing of problem reports, and so this is unlikely to spur a bunch of necessary changes necessarily, but does avoid, because of the deprecation that you add here, Stephen, does avoid the accidental creation or adoption of a problematic thing.
Yeah. I realize I should have had one more line in here, so I'm going to have to add one more line to it.
Into one of these processes?
Into the deprecation, which is recipients may still receive these warning messages and should just ignore them.
Do you want to propose a replacement?
Do you not want to? And the reason is because that would be a change in the protocol. This way I've threaded the needle by not changing the protocol. I'm not changing anything. I'm just clarifying.
Yes. Okay. That's okay.
So yeah, I was, when you started going into that, I went, no, I don't want to because of that. Anyway.
I think we've threaded this needle carefully enough.
Yeah.
James?
I guess the thought process of removing the problem port, that is a change, right?
It's not actually removing it; we're just deprecating it, which is that.
And I'm gonna add this thing that recipients should be aware they may get such a message, and may do with it what they want.
I think that is. That is probably threading that needle effectively. It's a little closer than I would like, but I think it's good.
If this was more widely implemented, we'd have to handle this in a different way.
Yeah. But
based on our review of the code bases, there's just not a lot.
That is fair. This kind of came up because we started trying to implement the minor version handling and realized the issues here.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. Well, in efforts to adopt DIDCOM V2, we'll end up deprecating this entire problem space.
There you go.
As well. So given that, I'm not excited about trying to solve this super robustly in that sense. I think we've got something that works good enough for our current situation. Okay, any comments on either of these PRs? We have 756, which is the clarification of the, I also mentioned here that new code should follow the problem code naming convention detailed in the V2 spec. And then the handling of an unknown error and that it should, so known errors are handled according to their meaning. If it starts with a W, it's considered a warning, and all other errors that are unknown should be considered to be an end of the active protocol.
Would it be worthwhile mentioning like new error codes should that our errors should start with a E to also follow the format?
Well, I say that here, but I don't get specific about the E part.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
Okay. I just called this one out specifically because then it would be considered a warning. But I didn't really get into the depths of the problem code naming the V2 spec in any other way.
I think that seems very reasonable to me.
Okay. Any objections to merging of 752 and 756? Awesome. Steven, can I lean on you for that?
I'm going to do one more and I get you to merge it after the call for the 752.
With the clarifications we talked about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent.
With the one more clarification about the recipients may still see that message, that deprecated message.
Excellent. Sounds good. And ping me about that and remind me.
Yep. Will.
Okay. So we're at 837. That we made it through that faster than I thought we might. So that's really good. Let's for the sake of Steven's sanity, why don't we do IW topics first, and then we can come back and address the other things as well. On IW topics, are there topics that folks are hoping is discussed, or even if you're not going, or that you plan on discussing if you are going, that you would like to highlight as relevant to this group? I'll offer one. Mike Ebert on the DCO team will be there, and he and I are planning to talk about governance frameworks, and there's some work that we'll be displaying there that's been done by Simon on our team we'll have a visual editor for governance frameworks that follow the form being discussed in our collaboration efforts with the DIF and soon to be Trust Over IP organizations about trust registries for the format of those files. And so we have a client, it's web-based but client-side only editor that allows you, without getting into the details of the format, to be able to specify who issuers are and which issuers are authorized to issue for what schemas according to the file, et cetera, and then create a file of the right format that would then be signed. The signing is out of scope for the current tool, and that is a tool that we will make open source. And in that way, there's some tooling around the creation of those, makes it a little easier to manage. So we'll be demonstrating that and showing that probably in a discussion session about it, about governance frameworks generally. And we're slated to offer that as a demo. In addition to the creation of the governance file using a nice GUI editor, I don't mean to imply that the like GUI is like done for a couple of reasons. One is that there's still movement in the format in that group. And so we'll be updating it as that movement happens. There's also kind of sawdust on the floor when it comes to the UX there. It'll need a tune once we get it functional to sort of make it that much easier to use and stuff like that. So it's not done, but it is a good it's a good sort of starter, conversation starter about how things are and what it can look like in the future. Part of that demo also is a JavaScript example of evaluating issuer and schema questions against that file and getting a Boolean response back. And so we have some example code that does that to sort of demonstrate the full loop of that flow, the creation and the evaluation of that file. So that's one that we're talking about. Other topics that folks are interested in talking about?
I'm certainly going to be talking about Hyperledger and OnCreds and Anoncreds. So that will be first session. I just heard, I got a note from Drummond about talking about Anoncreds in the context of OWF. Talking about that, and JSON-LD would be, yeah, a feature more interested in talking about the project itself, ledger agnostic, W3C format, yeah, all of those topics. And then Drummond wants to have an open wallet foundation and a non-cred session. And I'm sure there's others. You know, we should definitely, is there anyone that can do a talk about Bifold?
Mike and I can pretend. We will channel our inner James and to talk about that there. There's going to be a bunch of discussions about how it relates to existing projects, whether those are actually adopted or whether there's components of them that can be adopted. And I expect that to be kind of a rousing conversation with lots of yelling. Yeah. If I could guess, just because I think there's relatively strong opinions about this.
I was thinking more about, you know, Bifold and how much it contains, list of features. Personally, I'm really enthused at, and again, I'm tooting the horn of the team that I don't work directly with, but I'm aware of all their work, which is how the BC team set up their pipeline so that BC Gov can have a publishable, fully custom BC version, and yet do 80% of their coding in Aries Bifold. I think that's a huge benefit to the community. If we can get more people to adopt that model of not forking Bifold, but rather merging it into a pipeline so that the work can happen at the Bifold level and or AFJ level. That's just, it's a powerful model, in my opinion.
Do you know if anyone's going from that team,
James? So no one from that team is going, unfortunately.
I am also unfortunately not going. So you don't have the core maintainers of the project going.
Yeah. All right. I'll see what I can do about figuring out how to deal with that issue. Because I think, you know, Bifold is pretty important. I'd also like to rename the repo to Aries Bifold, but that's yet another topic.
Yeah, that's a different topic. Stephen, we can attempt to support. I mean, Mike and I won't be core maintainers either of that, we're like friends of the core maintainers. I don't know what that's called, but like chief cheerleaders, I don't know, but we might be able to help with that, to be able to talk about it. And so that would be cool. It's actually a good conversation to have with two organizations shipping something off the code base.
Yes. Exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
We have some of our beloved Canadians and DCO doing it off of the same code base, and that's really useful.
Exactly.
A semi-related one is, I'm not going, but I would have loved to have heard and seen things about OCA and the progress that happened there.
I mean, that I can do. I should do that one as well.
It's going to be busy. One of the things that the challenges that I think we're going to have is I think there's going to be so many open wallet conversations that it's going to end up coloring stuff. And so our strategy may be to bring stuff up in the open wallet context, or maybe have something that's explicitly not open wallet focused, just to sort of help there be a variety in topics, because there is likely to be a camp of folks, at least at some point in the conference, that are tired of hearing about open wallet and would like to discuss other things going on. So.
Yes.
For sure. I'm also expecting some argument about the W3C tent size discussion, big tent versus little tent, or whether JSON-LD is actually required as a technology from a semantic basis, not just a designation of a schema thing. And so I don't know if that's going to happen there or not, but that would be interesting conversations to happen. So. Any other topics?
Just add errors by fold in there. You haven't put that in. Just to remind me. Yeah, it's both about, you know, bifold itself and about the pipelines. Yeah,
good. Right. Cool. Awesome. Okay. Sweet. Okay. IW will be next week, and we'll report back the week after, and we're again skipping next week because of that. Okay, next on the agenda, we have issue credential v2.1 learning. Stephen, you briefly talked to this at the very end of the meeting last week.
Yeah, I don't have this formalized enough to present. So this will be a to-do for 2 weeks from now for me. But basically, it relates to the similar issues with problem reports that go asynchronously and therefore are not helpful in the context of when you need them. So I'll be talking about that and then looking at adjustments to that protocol. And that may mean we have to figure something out as to how to do it because it's ugly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, on the ground learning is really useful.
Exactly.
Okay. So replacing Indie SDK.
I can talk about that because we talked about this on the Indie contributors call, and I can copy and paste a bunch of bullet points from it. But basically, we were talking about, okay, what does it take to really eliminate it and say, you know, replace with the what have been called the shared components, Indie VDR, Indie Shared RS, which now also includes an OnCreds RS, and Aries Askar. And so let me just paste this in so people are seeing what I'm talking about. Making sure that shared components work in all of the Aries frameworks. It's a command line switch at the startup of Akapai. Need to make sure that we can do AFJ and Aries VCX. Indie VDR did Indie support in a branch, but it's not been merged into main, which pains me like you wouldn't believe. So that's got to get done. Someone mentioned this one item in URSA. So I sent a message out to URSA, but there's one issue. It probably, but not certain, doesn't affect us much, but basically there is a dependency called failure, interestingly enough, that has a very high CVE score and so needs to be removed in favor of another dependency. These are the big two big ones, I think. A migration tool. Again, I think I've talked about this in the past, but basically there is a way to export an Indie wallet and load it into Aries Askar, but there's not really a tool to do that and make it simpler or a wrapper around that capability. And so that needs to be done. And then a shared components version of the Indie CLI. So right now the Indie CLI depends on libindie. Indie CLI is a very important tool. So how do we free it up to make it work with shared components? So both of those, I wouldn't think that one would be too hard given that, you know, there's the replacement of libindie for shared components has been done multiple times in the past, including in Akapai. So there's instances of how to do that. These are a couple of pretty internal things. These couple of things here, I would call these Indie node internals that are more for the Indie node community. So a couple of new transaction types affecting Indie node. Indie test automation relies on Indie SDK, so that needs to be migrated. And there are some tools in Indie node that need to be looked at. So again, that's not for the general community, but more for the indie and those in the indie node community. So less concerning as far as a transfer. And then of course, there's just communicating the community impact. Anyone who's not using a framework would need to know, hey, Libvyn, Indie SDK is going away, and understand the ramifications of that. So that's what we came up with in brainstorming overall with the two that I'm highlighting on my screen, but of course no one's seeing it, but creating the migration tool and the shared components being, you know, sort of chunky ones that somebody could just say, I'm going to take that one and work on it.
James, your hand's up.
Yeah, from my perspective, from the mobile and bifold piece, one of the things that has been a blocker that Animo and those folks have done a lot of work towards, but is not yet complete, is the React Native wrappers for the shared libraries. This is actually completed for IndieBDR, as far as I'm aware, but the others have not been as of yet. So that will require some effort there before it can even be integrated into AFJ specifically.
Yep. Yeah. Fascinating discussion the other day on wrappers in general on and on creds. This interesting what a challenge they are. And yet they, you know, easy, but yet a challenge. I would love if we could just auto-generate them, but evidently that's not going to happen, I think. Yeah, that is the big blocker, I think, right now. Obviously, Aries VCX, it's not in there. They've got it on their roadmap, but they're Rust, so that is not going to be a big issue. This is more, you know, Aries VCX is just getting it done, but AFJ is a wrapper issue.
Right. The new method that Brand and Timo have used, this is a little bit React Native specific, but Turbo Modules is a new wrapper mechanism React Native has created. And that, so that is an improvement over the way Indie SDK was done, because we can use the TypeScript definitions as that are part of the that can be created as part of like Indie Shared RS, for instance. And so that does improve the process a bit from what it was, but you're right that it's not a auto-generate thing as of yet.
So we are planning to help in some ways. We haven't exactly narrowed down, but Adam on our team plans to help with this, and we'll have to figure out what the best use of his time is to be able to contribute to the sort of the overall broad needs.
Yeah, that'll be likewise BCGov, and we're looking at ways we can do that.
We should make sure we're not trying to do the same thing. So we'll have to talk a little bit, and as we figure that out, but not having Indie SDK underneath Aries anymore solves a number of problems, and so it's a good effort. Cool. Thank you, Stephen, for that report on Indie SDK. Any other comments about that?
Quick question. Do we have like a general location where we're organizing this effort to replace the Indie SDK?
Not as yet, but that's the plan. The Anon Creds group created a shared project in GitHub. So that would be the next thing. And to try to collect the issues involved in doing it and where they need to happen.
The
Indie Node internals. Is this the essentially the project that allows the Indie SDK to be exposed as through Node.js?
No. The Indie Node, what Indie Node is the ledger itself. The I nodes see. Of the ledger. That's what that means. So Indie Node kernels. Okay. Yeah, as you know, for example, as we run through the pipeline to test Indie Node, we have to run transactions against the node to make sure it behaves properly, or a set of nodes, a ledger, and the Indie SDK is used to generate the load on the ledger. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that.
So to Daniel's question, Stephen, are you planning should this be, I mean, replacing Indie SDK from within Aries is decidedly an Aries topic. Some of these issues are like Indie Node internals.
Yeah, exactly. These cross over a bunch of things. So the idea I had was to create a project in the GitHub sense, a GitHub project, post the different things that are related to, you know, what are the issues in Aries VCX? What are the issues that already exist in AFJ? What issues do we have to create? What issues do we have to create in Aries Askar, such as the migration tool? We have to have a new component. What is essentially a new component? Because right now it's embedded in the SDK is the CLI, sort of externalize that and create it as a, you know, based on shared components. So there is, it's cross repository and even cross Hyperledger project. So that's why I'm thinking the organization-wide GitHub project capability.
That could be useful.
Yeah.
And if someone really wants to jump into something and solve something very direct, this is a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if I've received any response. I posted something on Discord yesterday to the URSA community. And the big thing there is not so much the change that's got to be made. It's the pipeline. How good is the pipeline in URSA? So we'll see.
Right. Cool. Excellent. Thank you for that, Stephen. We actually made it through our whole topic list almost entirely. So very good. That brings us to the end of our meeting today. Grateful for everyone who contributed, and looking forward to seeing some of you at IW, and the rest of you will do our best to report back on relevant discussions that happen as we move forward in our efforts. Grateful for all you've done, and I hope your week is a great one.
Thank you all.
Bye, everybody. Thanks.